Today is April 10th, 2006. Lori Sullivan, Associate Editor with TechWeb. Welcome to my podcast. Sterling Commerce, now owned by AT&T, is a 31-year-old company that enables the top 2,000 enterprises to electronically transfer files and information. I recently spoke with Sam Starr, the company's President and Chief Executive Officer, to get his thoughts on Ajax, open source, and to catch up on business. He told me Sterling Commerce plans to hire several hundred software developers to work at the company's Bangalore, India office. He calls the software multi-enterprise collaboration. What does that mean? I'll let him explain.
Sterling Commerce has a parent company?
Yeah, that's right, AT&T.
How is that working?
Lori, it is incredible. I am just so pleased to be a member of the AT&T family. Yeah, they are a parent that has been extremely supportive. They've been there, have given us autonomy to grow and be who we need to be, have backed our strategy with inorganic and organic growth and capital funds. So we've been extremely supportive to our growth plans. And in this focus of helping our customers thrive in the global economy, focusing on the edge of the enterprise and optimizing their performance in their business communities. We bought Yantra last year and are now integrating them. Back in 2000, we were bought by SBC.
And then when SBC changed its name to AT&T?
Been no change for us.
You said that they are backing your strategy to move forward.
Yes, that's right.
What is that strategy? What does that mean?
Well, it really is a strategy for us to play a role in helping our customers solve these multi-enterprise collaboration problems. So we are out looking inorganically for opportunities for acquisition, organically growing where they need help in synchronizing and collaborating with their business partners, their trading partners, their corporate clients. So we're really focused in that area, in the classic supply chain arena, as well as in the payments and procurement area. You know, one of the other big mega trends is the convergence of applications and infrastructure, primarily because SOA enables that to happen, right? So instead of the old days where you had CICS and the applications were inside of the mainframe Kix environment, and then you had your operating system that was in support of it. It was all very monolithic, but you had infrastructure and then you had apps. And that's really breaking down and blurring because of SOA, and now you have really network-enabled applications that, you know, in an N-tier environment, we went from CICS apps and infrastructure into client-server apps and infrastructure, and then you really go to three-tier N-tier, and now all of a sudden you've got a network-enabled application that really is distributed in all sorts of places, especially if it's the various services that are called across the web or across the internal infrastructure. So that blurring is something that we're really working diligently on in trying to build the applications and that can work in a distributed networked world. And I believe you see others doing this as well. So you see SAP focusing on their business process platform and NetWeaver, which is real infrastructure stuff. And you see Oracle talking about their middleware and the activities. You see IBM buying Corio and Trigo. So a real blurring that's occurring, and it's technology that's enabling it. The service oriented enables it.
To fulfill your goals of delivering these services for customers, what type of technologies is Sterling looking to acquire?
Well, we believe that we've got a lot of things going right for us. One, we've got an Indian business model. We have Sterling folks in Bangalore. When we first got Yantra, it was about 80 folks. We've grown that to 300. We're going to expand that again to 500. And that model has been extremely effective at getting great brains, quality resources, and a development and consulting and customer support structure to deliver at very profitable levels and has allowed us to grow in a really fast and quality fashion. So we have some of those elements already that I believe are fundamental to a software service company in the future. With SOA technology, what we've actually done is we've taken much of our technology, we've stuck it into our on-demand world, and now can provide that to customers. And we see building that out. We're getting the accolades from the analysts who are saying we're 2 to 3 years ahead of our competition because we're already providing you know, a web services, service-oriented business process. You know, you name the buzzwords, and we've got them involved.
What about your developers in India? What are they working on?
Well, we've got them working on applications that are solving some of these thorny issues at the edge of the enterprise, as I've talked about, order management, store operations, supply chain visibility and synchronization. We think that's just a crying need. As you look at, especially as you source out to China, that global supply chain, what is going on as the boat is coming across, what's in the container as it enters a port, and how do I tell the retailer, the manufacturer, the port authority, the customs, the banker who's bankrolling it, and the shipper, all information about what's going across that supply chain. So we're working vigilantly, and we've got folks in India really focused on providing that level of visibility and supply chain synchronization. What we're packaging as another megatrend is PCAs, package composite applications. You know, the idea that it's a composite app and that it's not just our services and elements, but it could be pulling things from SAP or Oracle or PeopleSoft or JD Edwards or legacy systems that are wrapped with web services and packaged up so various use case scenarios are pre-built, out-of-the-box delivered so that business problems can be solved at a faster clip, and then you can iterate from there. So we have them working on package composite apps across the supply chain execution space with a key focus on visibility and supply chain synchronization.
You said Sterling plans to grow the number of developers in India from 300 to 500.
Yeah.
Is that this year?
Uh-huh. Have you done much research on what's going on in India? It's incredible. I was there in January, February, and I've just been extremely impressed at the quality of the resources and the leadership of the educational system and the business efforts to really drive and deliver incredibly knowledgeable employees. So we're really excited about that. Another area for us is the financial services space, where we're seeing the same need at the edge of the enterprise to mostly about customer intimacy. How, as a corporate bank, do I deliver a collaborative, tightly coupled relationship with my corporate clients so they can understand the position of all their money, what's going on with the payments and the receivables, and provide that in a new technology environment. And so we're part of that investment is to really grow and organically build applications that solve some of the thorny issues in the financial services space around synchronization.
How does the pay scale for developers in India differ from the pay scale in the U.S.?
The pay scale is different. The most interesting thing in my mind is how fast it's growing in India. You do two increases a year, and you're just at a faster clip of growth. The way we look at it is truly what is the total cost of development, or when you look at onshore, offshore mix, that is what really how we look at be as competitive, because you don't do everything offshore. It's a mix that you're trying to deliver, and it's that hybrid model that I really believe is the ongoing approach that corporations are looking at.
One programmer in India might make what compared to one programmer in the U.S.?
It might make 25 versus 75.
So in India, you're paying maybe $25, what, an hour?
No, I'm thinking 25K versus 75K. But it's not that simple, Lori, because you then have to say, what kind of project are they working on? What overhead do I need to ensure the quality of the project because of the extra communications necessary to work in a distributed environment like that? That's what I mean by the total cost of development. You got to pull all that together to then come up with, you know, the total sense of what it's going to take to deliver. The quality issue, not the pricing issue. That it's a brain power issue.
Do you think the quality of the programming is better with Indian developers than some in the U.S.?
I think it's actually the mix gets you the best of all worlds. You get that kind of mix going. Plus, you have time on your side, too, right? So the U.S. folks go to bed and the Indian folks wake up. To me, you get accelerated delivery you get a higher quality product at the end of the day. You get more time to do testing and QA, which is always the last thing on that gets done. So I see that globalization and that hybrid model giving you the best of all worlds and the highest quality product.
Moving over to TechWeb gave me the opportunity to write about different types of technology. I'm writing a lot about Ajax now.
Oh, wow. Okay, gotcha.
Would that type of technology make sense in the applications that you're building?
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at software as a service, the issue you end up with is, in the hosted model, is you're limited by your browser functionality because everything is server-based. Technologies like Ajax have really enriched the user interface experience that can be managed, manipulated at the desktop that provides a richness to the software as a service model than being just an empty browser that's dependent upon everything happening back at the server. The thing that's hit me is I've been going to customers and then the pace has picked up. The technology truly is just an enabler to solve some business problem. As much as I love and honor my geek roots, it's really hit me how much and how important the business issues that are driving the business. And really, what I'm saying is shift. CIOs, IT professionals that are really getting into the bowels of the business and having that drive their technology activities, their technology decisions. Therefore, how can technology enable solutions to get done? And so you see an activity like the value of Google or Amazon is the uninitiated business user now has an expectation that it takes nothing to get the information he wants in a personal world. Why can't that be the way in the business world? So it really has, in my mind, those simple user interfaces, the quick access to information has raised the bar for IT and set a new paradigm for us as enterprise software service providers to enable and use technology to provide that kind of capability in solving internal business issues, just as people have been using that technology in a simple way for their own personal and consumer use.
Are you using any open source technologies?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Open source is a fundamental movement that we embrace. And it makes sense. I had 30 years in the integration business, 30 years sitting in electronic commerce and, working, between enterprises. And you got anything thrown at you, you got to catch and be ready to throw back in some other format or other protocol or other mechanism. And so the open standards is critical. So whether it be app server, and truly what we've gone to is agnostic, right? We don't care what app server you use. And so that open source has enabled a commoditization to occur in the app server and the operating system space with Linux, Unix sort of things. So we've really seen that as a tremendous value add to customers and have embraced it all through our product.
Thanks for joining me. This is Lori Sullivan with TechWeb.